previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from mostly the AARP magazine and a little bit from the UC Berkeley School of Public Health. So I am so happy to be back with you. Today is the 29th of January. We are heading into this year, almost a month gone already. And the first article I'm going to start with is 10 Things to Purge at the Start of the New Year. It's time to toss the old toothbrushes and take out menus. Why wait until spring to clean and organize your life? The start of a new year is the perfect time to refresh and reset. Here are 10 simple things you can do to start fresh in 2020. Toss your old toothbrush. How long has your toothbrush been hanging around? The American Dental Association, ADA, recommends replacing toothbrushes every 3 to 4 months, or more often if the bristles on your brush are visibly matted and frayed. Start the new year with a new toothbrush and buy a multi-pack so you have replacements on hand throughout the year. Replace your kitchen sponge. Your kitchen sponge is meant to wipe down surfaces and scrub pots and pans. But how much cleaning is it actually doing? Researchers have found that kitchen sponges are the biggest reservoirs of active bacteria in the whole house. And some of the bacteria they harbor can cause illness, according to a study in Scientific Reports. Zapping unwanted germs by boiling or microwaving sponges doesn't do much good. The same study found that sponges regularly sanitized by these common cleaning methods did not contain less bacteria than uncleaned ones, and even had an increased abundance of some bacteria. The study's authors recommend replacing kitchen sponges weekly. Wow. Clean out the condiments. The new year is a great time to sort through all the half-empty jars of pickles and bottles of barbecue sauce that litter the side of the fridge. Does mine. Some condiments will need to be tossed. Anything fuzzy is a no-go. Others can be incorporated into new dishes. Check out Bon Appetit's list of 10 ways to use up your nearly empty sauces and dressings. Oh, that sounds great. For those that get to stay, group condiments together so you know what you have and where it is. While you're at it, clean out the whole fridge. Yes, this is a slightly more daunting task, but one that's necessary, especially when it comes to staying healthy. Make sure the fridge temperature is set between 34 and 40 degrees Fahrenheit, the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, says. And do not use solvent cleaning agents or abrasives to wipe up spills on the shelves. Warm, soapy water will do the trick. Don't neglect the condenser coil, a critical part that helps keep everything cool. It's usually located either on the back of or underneath your fridge. Check your owner's manual. Unplug your fridge, then go over the condenser coil several times a year with a brush or vacuum cleaner to remove dirt and lint buildup that could affect the appliance's ability to maintain proper temperature, the USDA says. Get rid of expired medicines. Is your medicine cabinet overflowing with pill bottles? Get rid of the drugs you no longer need, as well as any expired over-the-counter medications. The best way to dispense of old and unwanted medicine is to take it to a drug drop-off or take-back site. Check the Food and Drug Administration's website to find a location near you. If you can't make it to one of these sites, or there isn't one nearby, the FDA has instructions on how to properly flush or throw away medicine. Wash your makeup brushes. Over time, makeup brushes collect dirt, oil, and bacteria that can lead to breakouts. Experts at the American Academy of Dermatology, AAD, recommend washing makeup brushes once every 7 to 10 days in lukewarm water to minimize the risk of a rash or breakout from a dirty brush. Tackle the tech drawer. There's a price to pay for keeping up with technology, and that's a growing collection of old phones, chargers, tablets, and computers. If you have a device that still works, donate it to a charity or nonprofit that could put it to good use. Take electronics that are past their prime to a designated electronic waste or e-waste drop-off center so they can be recycled. Most municipalities have one. Large retailers, including Apple and Best Buy, also collect and recycle e-waste. Clean out your emails. Tired of logging in only to find pages of unopened emails in your inbox? It might be time for an unsubscribe spree. Go to your inbox and open each legitimate email you've subscribed to that you want gone. Think email newsletters you no longer read and offers from retailers you no longer frequent. Scroll down to the small print at the end of each message. That's where you should find the unsubscribe button or link, which allows you to opt out of future emails. It'll take some time, but the payoff is a less cluttered and more manageable inbox. As for the junk emails you don't recognize, rather than unsubscribing, it's safer to mark them as spam so they no longer show up in your inbox. Why? Clicking the unsubscribe button in a scam phishing, that's P-H-I-S-H, phishing email, can alert the scammer that your email address is active, resulting in even more scam emails. Organize the junk drawer. The start of the new year is also a good time to get a handle on the collection of hair ties and headphones that make their way to the junk drawer. And don't forget to toss out old takeout menus and broken pens. Designate a bag or small bin for loose change, and make sure tools that you use often, like a screwdriver, or you might use in an emergency, flashlight, are easy to access. Straighten up the sock drawer. Have a lone sock that still hasn't found its match? Clear it from your drawer. And the same goes for any with holes in the toes. Getting the sock drawer in order can save you time on busy mornings so that you're not scrambling for an intact or matching pair. The new year might also be a time to check out and revisit your vaccination coverage. And the AARP has an article here about gaps in vaccination coverage. There are several different vaccinations recommended for people 65 and older. When was the last time you had a tetanus booster? How about a flu shot? Some of the vaccinations you've had may be easier to remember than others, but it's important you track each and every one of them. Older adults have greater susceptibility to and complications from diseases, and that's why the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, ACIP, recommends certain vaccinations. But a new report by the National Center for Health Statistics highlights what could be troubling gaps among the vaccines people have received. While 69% of people 65 and older received an annual influenza vaccine, the results were not as favorable when it came to ever receiving the shingles vaccine, with 34% having received the shot. The report noted that the older people got, the less likely they were to get the shingles vaccine or vaccination. About 36% of people ages 65 to 74 said they received the vaccine at some point, but that proportion dropped to to 29% for seniors 85 and older. If you are 65 or older, the ACIP, remember that's the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, recommends vaccinations for influenza, 2 doses of pneumococcal vaccine, 1 dose of shingles vaccine, and a tetanus booster every 10 years. More men over 65 got a tetanus booster compared with women, according to the report. Overall, about half of Americans had received the shot, while 61% of men had. When it comes to a pneumococcal vaccine shown to prevent pneumonia and protect against other diseases, more than 6 out of 10 adults received the shot. AARP previously reported on the many different vaccinations and what they protect against, who needs them, how often you should get them, and other concerns. For example, the influenza vaccination protects against seasonal flu that can be transmitted by close contact with someone who is infected. People 65 and older tend to get much sicker than others, so the shot is recommended annually, usually in early fall. It typically takes about 2 weeks for the vaccine to start working. As you try to keep better track of the vaccines you receive, it's also important to talk with your doctor about the latest vaccine recommendations. All right, and with that, I have an article entitled "Take Shingles Pneumonia Vaccines Together." Older adults can safely take vaccines against pneumonia and shingles at the same time without compromising the effectiveness of either. Researchers with Kaiser Permanente have concluded in a new study published in the journal Vaccine. Their findings address a 2009 recommendation by the drug's manufacturer, Merck & Company, that the zoster or shingles vaccine and pneumonia vaccine be given at least a month apart. As a result, vaccine experts feared fewer adults would get the zoster vaccine if it meant a separate trip to their doctor's office. "It's tough enough to get adults vaccinated," said Kevin P. High, M.D., chief of infectious diseases at Wake Forest Baptist Health in North Carolina. "The data from this study suggest that if patients want to get both vaccines at the same time, we shouldn't hesitate." Rafael Harpaz, M.D., a medical epidemiologist with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said the CDC's position has always been to give both vaccines together. "We did not think there was sufficient evidence from Merck to change good vaccination practices," he said. Merck's recommendation was based on a clinical trial of 473 adults randomly assigned to receive the shingles vaccine, Zostavax, and pneumonia vaccine, Pneumovax, either at the same time or a month apart. Those who received the vaccines together had lower antibody levels, suggesting reduced immunity to shingles. At Kaiser, the researchers took a different approach, reviewing the medical records of more than 14,000 older adults, in which about half received the vaccines together and half received them separately. In a 3-year period, 56 cases from the first group that had the vaccines together and 58 cases from the second ended up getting shingles, suggesting that the vaccines had the same effect regardless of whether they were taken together or separately. Lead researcher Hung Fu Tseng said he was not surprised by the results. "We did not believe antibody levels would affect protection," he said. In an email, Merck spokeswoman Jennifer Allen Woodruff stated that Merck is pleased that independent researchers are evaluating Zostavax, but did not address whether Merck might change its recommendation. All right, and finally, along the same track here, just real quickly, more effective shingles vaccine is now available nationwide. So Shingrix is recommended for all adults over 50. A new shingles vaccine is now available in pharmacies and from physicians. The new shingles vaccine recommended by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for people 50 and older is now widely available in pharmacies and with physicians. Testing found that Shingrix, and that's Shingrix, which received Food and Drug Administration approval last fall, was 97% effective in adults 50 to 69 and 91% effective in those 70 and older. Those are far better results than provided by the previous vaccine, Zostavax, which was recommended for people 60 and up. CVS announced this week that Shingrix is available in its stores nationwide, making it the latest of major chain pharmacies, including Walgreens, Duane Reade, Walmart, and Albertsons, to have it. It has been available to doctors since late November, but patients, and this was of 2018, actually, but patients should check out their own physicians to determine whether they can get the shots there. Shingrix is taken in two doses separated by 2 to 6 months. Zostavax, the previously recommended vaccine, was a one-shot dose. The CDC says even those who have received a Zostavax shot should get the new drug, as should those who have had shingles. The CDC estimates that for every 1 million people 60 to 69 years old who receive Shingrix, there will be 87,000 fewer cases of shingles, as well as 10,000 fewer cases of post-herpetic neuralgia, which is severe pain in the location of a previous shingles rash. The vaccine is also projected to lead to 80,000 fewer cases of shingles among people 50 to 59 years old, with 5,000 fewer cases of post-herpetic neuralgia. In addition to checking with individual pharmacies and physicians about the availability of the vaccine, those of eligible age should check with health insurance provider to see whether the shots are covered. Medicare Part D covers Shingrix, but Medicare Part B does not. Older adults suffer from lapses in their vaccination coverage, so be careful. Look for these vaccinations and get the Shingrix. All right. Well, I'm going to do one last medical article, and then we'll go on to something much more light. All right, five warning signs of pancreatic cancer. The disease is very difficult to detect, but sometimes there are signals. Although pancreatic cancer can be treated if caught early, the signs are often subtle, and the disease is usually missed until it is in later, more serious stages. But there are some warning signs that you can watch out for. The pancreas has two main jobs in the body: to make juices that help digest food, and to make hormones such as insulin and glucagon that help control blood sugar levels. The digestive juices are made by exocrine pancreas cells, which is where about 95% of pancreatic cancers begin. The disease accounts for approximately 3% of all cancers and about 7% of all cancer deaths, according to the American Cancer Society, ACS. And the risk goes up with age. About two-thirds of patients are at least 65 years old, and the average age at the time of diagnosis is 71, according to the ACS. Only 8.2% of pancreatic cancer patients survive for 5 years, according to the National Cancer Institute, NCI. The pancreas is deep inside the body, and early tumors can't be detected by standard physical exams. People usually have no symptoms until the cancer has already spread to other organs. Even so, the NCI advises people to consult their doctor if they have any of the following symptoms: jaundice. The yellowing of the skin and whites of the eyes is caused by the buildup of bilirubin, a dark yellow-brown substance made by the liver. Cancers starting in the head of the pancreas are near the common bile duct, according to the ACS. This type of cancer may press on the duct and cause jaundice, which could lead to finding the tumors at an early stage. But cancers that start in the body or tail of the pancreas don't press on the duct until they have already spread through the pancreas and possibly beyond. Dark urine, too, can be a sign of jaundice. A bilirubin buildup can also lead to itchiness on the skin. Light-colored or greasy stools. Bilirubin helps give stools their brown color. So when the bile duct is blocked, stools may be gray or pale. Pancreatic cancer can also make it difficult for the intestines to help break down fats, so stools may become greasy and float in the toilet. Belly pain. Pain in the abdomen or belly or back is common with pancreatic cancer. Cancers that start in the body or tail of the pancreas can grow fairly large and start to press on other nearby organs, causing pain, the ACS says. The cancer may also spread to the nerves surrounding the pancreas, which often causes back pain. Of course, pain in the abdomen or back is fairly common and is most often caused by something other than pancreatic cancer. Loss of appetite and weight loss. Unintended weight loss and loss of appetite can be warning signs of pancreatic cancer. Nausea and vomiting. The cancer can press on the far end of the stomach and partially block it, making it hard for food to pass. This may cause nausea, vomiting, and pain after eating. A more detailed list of symptoms is available from the American Cancer Society, ACS. Prevention. While some risk factors for pancreatic cancer cannot be controlled, such as age or genetics, there are steps you can take to reduce your risk. Stop smoking. About 20% to 30% of pancreatic cancers are thought to be caused by cigarette smoking. Smokeless tobacco products are also a factor. Lose weight. Very overweight people are about 20% more likely to develop pancreatic cancer, and carrying extra weight around the waistline may be a risk factor even for those who aren't that overweight. Limit exposure to certain chemicals. Heavy and repeated exposure to certain chemicals in the workplace, such as those used in dry cleaning and metalworking, may raise a person's risk of pancreatic cancer. All right, and this article was originally published on January 31, 2018. It has been updated with the AARP Top Tips video. All right. All right, and as our last article, just something fun from Julie Andrews. What I now know. Discipline, for me, is very important. In other words, I've done my homework if I know what I'm doing. Then I can launch rather than just flail around. I was trained that way all my life by Madame Lillian Stiles Allen. From when I was age 9 until the day she died in 1982, she was my singing teacher and taught me good diction, placement, everything. A wonderful lady and a huge mentor. How lucky can a girl get? Well, God help me if I wasn't nice. My mom used to say, "Don't you dare pull rank. There's always someone who can do the same thing you do and much better than you." And I was young and knew I had a lot to learn. Regrets, she had a few. Everybody thinks I come from Windsor Castle or something, but I was so busy working as a kid. The only thing I had time for was to read on trains and planes. When I didn't go to college because I was working, I said to my mom, "Are you sure I'm not going to miss college?" She said, "Oh, you'll have a much better education from life." But I always wished I'd had a real education. "I don't know what P.L. Travers thought," she said to me. "You're very pretty, and you've got the nose for it." I'm sure she laughed all the way to the bank. She was very tough and canny. And that's how Mary Poppins' creator viewed Andrews as the nanny. When I woke up from an operation to remove a cyst on my vocal cord, my singing voice was gone. I went into depression. It felt like I'd lost my identity. And having a voice, I would have been quite a sad lady if I hadn't had the voice to hold on to. The singing was the most important thing of all, and I don't mean to be Pollyanna about how incredibly lost I'd been without that. So, but by good fortune, after my operation, when my daughter Emma and I had been asked to write a book for kids, we did that together. Along came a brand new career in my mid-60s. That was a lovely surprise. Do I miss singing? Yes, I really do. Laughing together. I can't imagine a good marriage without a good sense of humor. We laughed a lot. Blake Edwards, the late director to whom she was married for 41 years, said to me, "The minute I saw you laughing at the outtakes I showed you, I thought, that's the girl for me." And finally, whistle a happy tune. I'd love to be able to paint. I'd love to be a good cook, but I'm rotten. I don't have the patience for it, but I have to say, I'm a good whistler. A lot of singers are. And this interview was told to Mary Rocklin. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anika Gall, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Make it a great week, and we'll see you in February.